Hello, and welcome to the Bible teaching of Pastor Bill Bigham from the pulpit of Boger City Baptist in Lincolnton, North Carolina. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We're located at 2201 East Main Street in beautiful Lincolnton, North Carolina. For live and archive streaming services, check us out online at bogercitybaptist.org. That's Boger, B-O-G-E-R, City, C-I-T-Y, Baptist.org, O-R-G. And now, open your hearts and minds as Pastor Bill brings the message.
Well done, Webb, one of my all-time favorite songs. You did it beautifully. We're living in a hurting world. That is no secret. We have hurt not only out here in this world, we have hurt in the church. People who are grieving, people who are beset with all sorts of problems and issues in life. God has a spiritual gift to minister to people who are hurting. We just saw it a moment ago in Romans 12, verse 8. It is the word mercy. The Greek word is elko, E-L-L-C-O. Can I give you a definition for this first of 21 spiritual gifts we're going to be looking at through the course of the next number of months? The gift of mercy is the God-given ability to show Christ-like compassion on those who are suffering physical and emotional distress. Let me give it to you again. The God-given ability to show Christ-like compassion on those who are suffering physical or emotional distress. A comparable word to the gift of mercy would be compassion. Those two are kind of linked together as words. They're synonyms of one another. All of us are to show compassion. Wouldn't you agree? Whether we've got the gift of mercy or not, we're to be compassionate people. All of us, to some degree, are to be merciful people because Jesus said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the merciful." But folks, I want you to know that this spiritual gift, the gift of mercy, goes much deeper than merely showing compassion. I have been pastoring now for 27 years, and I began to study the spiritual gifts early on in my ministry because I knew way back in the early 80s when I got into the ministry that the only way the churches that I pastored could really function for the glory of God would be for every member to know what their spiritual gift is and use it. And so I began noticing in my first church, and this has been the case not only at Denver Baptist Church, but the church I pastored in Asheville and in Birmingham, Alabama, and here at Boger City. One of the first things I started to do when I came here, and I continue to do this, is keep my eyes open for spiritual gifts in the people of God. Now let me stop here on a dime and camp out for a moment. I've been watching all of you to see what your spiritual gifts are. And boy, we have wonderful manifestations of spiritual gifts in this church. I can look at some of you right now and tell you, if you don't know it already, that you've got the gift of mercy. You remember what I told you a few weeks ago in starting this series, that sometimes you'll discover your spiritual gift by somebody else coming up to you and saying, "I see this gift in you. I didn't think I had the gift of teaching. But when I started teaching as a very young minister of the gospel, a Sunday school class, I actually had people say to me, 'We see a little bit of the gift of teaching in you. There's a lot of rough and very little diamond. It's a diamond in the rough, but we see something there.'" Well, I watched in Denver and Asheville and Birmingham, and I'm watching here at Boger City to see where your gifts are, so that if you don't know what they are, I might be able to speak a word into your life telling you I see something there in you that corresponds with a spiritual gift in the New Testament. And so the gift of mercy goes deeper than merely showing compassion. We're all to do that. So let me give you, and this is basically going to be, just listen carefully. These three points are basically going to be the outline for every sermon on the spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about the reason God gave the gift to the church. Then we're going to see the recognition of that gift, how you know you've got it. And then thirdly, the results of that gift when it's operating in the local church, in our case, Boger City Baptist. Let me give you the reason for the gift of mercy. Hurting people need ministry. And the gift of mercy is right there to minister to those who are grieving, to those who are physically or emotionally in pain. All of us are to have pity on hurting people. But listen to this. Mercy and pity are two different things. Don't confuse mercy with pity. Let me give you the difference. Pity feels. You ever heard that old saying, I feel your pain, I feel your hurt? That's pity. Pity feels. Mercy not only feels, it acts. We have pity on people who lose their jobs, or they lose a loved one, or their home may burn down, or they get a bad diagnosis from the doctor. How many of us have seen in the last 2 weeks the horrific pictures out of Haiti? Hurting people, dying people, people who have no food, they have no water, and we have pity on them. Pity may pray. Pity may have compassion. Pity may even weep. But mercy does something. Mercy literally suffers along with another person. Here's another difference between pity and mercy. Pity cares. Mercy shares. It gets involved. Listen to Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We're all to have compassion on others. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 37, I want you to go there for a moment. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. We've all heard it. We've all read it. We've all heard sermons on it. Luke 10, this man did more than feel. Luke 10, and let's see what the Lord Jesus had to say, and we can kind of take that gift of mercy and plug it into what we read here in Luke chapter 10. Notice, if you would, verse 30. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, it isn't that that individual wasn't concerned. Maybe he was in a hurry, and he couldn't stop and do what he needed to do. Verse 32, likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But look at the Samaritan. As he journeyed, he came where he was. And when he saw him, he had, there it is, compassion, mercy. And he went to him and he bandaged his wounds. Do you know what mercy has a way of doing? Bonding up the wounds of someone else, whether it's physical or emotional. Pouring oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day when he had departed, he took out 2 denarii, and he gave them to the innkeeper, and he said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come, I will repay you. There's the gift of mercy in operation. The Samaritan did more than just look down and behold the misery of the man who'd been beaten up. He got involved. He got involved with a hurting person. Mercy will always get involved. It will always act. Now, here's what we say sometimes, those of us without the gift of mercy. And I don't have the gift of mercy. My wife does. It's an interesting home life we have when someone has the gift of mercy and someone does not. And I'll tell you the difference between those two and how it impacts our marriage in just a few moments. But Suzanne has the gift of mercy oozing, as I said a few weeks ago, out of every pore in her body. Pity is going to care, mercy is going to share, and here's what those of us, and you're going to be able to relate to this if you don't have the gift of mercy. We are fond sometimes when we are approached with a need. Somebody's hurting, they come and say, boy, I've had a problem in my home, or I've lost my job, or I've been diagnosed with a disease, or I'm just hurting emotionally because of loss in my life. And here's what we're fond of saying. Well, boy, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. And we really mean that. But here's what the gift of mercy says. Those of us without the gift of mercy will say, call me if I can pray for you and let me know what I can do for you. The gift of mercy says, there is something I can do. Mercy never says to a hurting person, now if there's anything I can do, you let me know. Mercy says, there is something I can do and I'm going to get involved. Mercy is always going to rush in and assist a hurting person while pity is just observing the problem. Mercy always takes the initiative. Mercy always does something. People with the gift of mercy may hear about someone who lost their job or their family's in trouble or there's a terminal illness that someone has just been diagnosed with, and people without the gift of mercy say, well, what are we going to do about that? And people with the gift of mercy say, there is something we can do and we're going to do it. People sit around wondering, how can we help someone? Should we form a committee to try to minister to their problem? And by the time people without the gift of mercy figure out what they're going to do to help, the person with the gift of mercy has already acted to meet the need. If you've ever been ministered to someone with the gift of mercy mentioned in Romans 12:8, you'll never forget it. You'll know it. Turn to James 2 for a moment. Let me show you another passage regarding the gift of mercy. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. James, the half-brother of Jesus, is writing this book, and here's what he says regarding ministering to those who are hurting. Now, some of you already know you've got this gift. You've known it for a long time, and you're using it for the glory of God. Early on in my wife's Christian walk, she found out she had this gift, and she uses it beautifully. But in James chapter 2, verse 15, look at this. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, this would be someone without the gift of mercy, depart in peace, be warm and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? And so the gift of mercy is going to take the initiative. Now, the second thing I want to share with you, not only the reason for the gift, but the recognition of the gift. Let me give you some ways you can know if you have this gift. And by the way, I want you to know how I know what some of the character traits are of this gift. First of all, some of the character traits of these gifts we'll be talking about for the next 21 weeks are mentioned in the Word of God. We're going to read and talk about men and women who had these gifts, and you can see how these gifts responded. But in four churches, I have noticed many other character traits of people with these gifts just by mere observation. And so here is one of the first signs you've got the gift of mercy. People with the gift of mercy are drawn to need. Like a magnet, need will draw them. Now, I don't have this spiritual gift. As a pastor, I've got compassion. I rejoice with those who rejoice, and I weep with those who weep. As a pastor, I feel pity. But I don't have the spiritual gift of mercy. I am not, and I'm bearing my soul to you here today, I am not drawn to need. Need has to find me. Do you see the difference? Now, once I know there's a need, my compassion and my pity will act. But people with the gift of mercy will find someone with need. I see this in my wife, Suzanne. She is drawn to need. She will find need. She is drawn to people in pain, people without the gift of mercy. And those of us in this building today who don't have the gift of mercy, you can relate to this. People without the gift of mercy oftentimes are blind to pain and hurt. We have to be told, so-and-so is grieving, so-and-so is hurting. People with the gift of mercy, you're going to see them doing things like taking senior adults to the doctor because they can't get there on their own, or visiting the nursing homes, or people in the hospital, those in prison, ministering to someone who's lost a loved one. Boy, you hear about that and you're there. You hear about someone who's lost a loved one and they're grieving. You're on their doorstep as soon as you hear about it. You take action. Those who are hungry, you find a way to get them food. I told you a moment ago that some people have to wait around and hear about need, then go into a meeting to determine how we're going to meet this need. Not the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy will be there and get the job done. Listen to Matthew chapter 9 in verse 36. It says, "Our Lord was moved with compassion on the hurting." Jesus did something about people's needs. He acted. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He ministered to the lepers and the outcasts. Secondly, not only are people with the gift of mercy drawn to need, and I see that in many of you. I mean, need just has a way of drawing you. You find it. But secondly, you've got the gift of mercy when you desire to be a blessing to other people. You don't want the applause. You don't need the attention of the church. You don't have to have your name in the bulletin for doing something. You just want to be a blessing to other people. You bless the life of a fellow Christian. Thirdly, people with the gift of mercy feel the pain of others deeply and they desire to remove it. That is one thing you will always hear someone with the gift of mercy saying, "Oh, I wish I could take their pain away. I wish I could do something to remove the pain." They suffer with that person as though they themselves had the problem. They'd be willing to take the place of that person's hurt if they could. They vicariously suffer with that individual. Now again, I've told you my wife has this gift, and one of the things I hear Suzanne say over and over again that makes me convinced she's got the gift of mercy is this: "I wish I could take their place. I wish I could take their pain away. I don't have the gift of mercy." We'll be sitting down talking about people in the church. We'll be talking about people who have problems. And boy, this is going to sound so cold-hearted on my behalf to say this to you. And don't think less of me for telling you that I have the gift of teaching. And we'll be sitting down talking about somebody who's going through pain and hurt. And she'll say, "I wish I could take their pain away." And you know what old cold callous Pastor Bill may say from time to time? "It isn't that I don't have compassion on them, but I have the gift of teaching." And when mercy and teaching sit down and begin to talk with each other, mercy says, "Oh, I wish I could take their pain away. I wish I could suffer their pain for them." And me with the gift of teaching will say, "Oh, listen, their pain will do them good." Yeah. They're going to grow in Christ because of this pain. See, I have the gift of teaching. My desire in the life of any of my sheep is that whatever they go through be a teaching moment for them, and that they can grow because of their pain. See, the ultimate end for anyone with the gift of teaching is to see their pain and their problems and their tears cause them to grow spiritually. And so she'll say, "I wish I could take their pain away." And I say to them, "God may not want to take their pain away right now because their pain is a teaching moment to help them grow in Christ." And she looks at me like the biggest ogre in the world because I'm coming at this thing with the gift of teaching. Do you see the difference? Here's another one. Boy, is this ever true with my wife. People with the gift of mercy. See if this resonates with you, those of you who have the gift. They are very sensitive to words or actions that would hurt someone else. You want to get a person with the gift of mercy ticked off. You want to get someone angry who's got the gift of mercy. Just be insensitive towards someone else with your words or with your actions. Here's another trait. A person with the gift of mercy. The reason I'm chuckling up here is because my wife fills every one of these character traits. I mean, I just see this in her in every one of these characteristics of the gift of mercy. The people with the gift of mercy in the church, you can spot them because they will take up somebody else's offense when they're badly spoken of. Now, what does it mean to take up somebody else's offense? This may be a term you've never heard, but you've seen people do it. Somebody will take up the offense of another people, a person, when they are wounded or offended. It means they will go to battle for them. Boy, if you say something about someone and you wound them and you hurt them, somebody with the gift of mercy is going to come in, even violently if they have to, and defend them and take up their offense. Mercy always does this. Even if what you say about somebody else is justified, if there is a tone of hatefulness or spitefulness in your voice, even if the attack against somebody else has merit, mercy will regard that as unjustified and they will come at you. People with that gift are known by that character trait. Here's another characteristic of the gift of mercy. They tend to see the very best in other people, even if they have to look hard to find it. You know, sometimes with people, at least certain people, you got to look real hard to find some good things. Mercy will always see the very best in other people, even if they have to look real hard to find it. Let me put it this way. Mercy will always go the extra mile and find something good to say about another believer. Here's another trait. Kind of goes along with what I said a moment ago, but mercy shuts off people who are cruel or insensitive. Again, I refer to my wife, Suzanne. She doesn't warm up to people who are cruel or insensitive in their words or their deeds or their actions. I can get along with anybody. But people with the gift of mercy shut off those who were cruel or insensitive. Now, let me share this one with you. And boy, if you don't hear anything I tell you today, write this character trait down. They are less than firm in their relationships with other people. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? People with the gift of mercy. My wife is home sick today. I don't have a whole lot of mercy on her. She should have been here. Amen? Maybe it's good she isn't here because I'm using her as an illustration in practically every one of these characteristics. But my wife is very soft in her relationship with other people. People with the gift of mercy will almost be willing to become a doormat to preserve their relationship with other people. Have you ever seen someone like this? I mean, they get walked on by friends and family members just so they can preserve the relationship or the friendship. Here's what they're going to do. I've seen this in Suzanne. They will avoid rebukes or confrontations with people to keep the relationship smooth. Now, if you've got the gift of prophecy, and we're going to see that in a few weeks, not only are you not going to become a doormat for someone, you'll stick it in their face if they've got sin in their life. You'll rebuke them. Not mercy. Mercy will do anything possible, even becoming kind of a doormat, in order to avoid a sever or a rift of the relationship. If someone with the gift of mercy has a friend in sin, they don't overlook the sin, they recognize it's there, but they don't want to drive a wedge into the relationship And so again, let me repeat, they will avoid rebuking that individual, that friend, family member in sin in order to keep the relationship intact. They got a close friendship with the person in sin. Mercy will pray for them. Mercy will grieve about it, but mercy will avoid confronting the issue. And here's why. Mercy is more concerned about relationships than rebuke. Do you see the difference? You can always tell if you don't have the gift of mercy, because if someone you love, someone you're close to is involved in sin, you're going to go to them. You're going to nail them for it. You're going to rebuke them in the name of Christ, and you're going to do anything you can to get their life right with God again. Not mercy. Mercy is all about relationships. Now, a person with the gift of mercy may go to their knees on behalf of that person. They will weep on behalf of that person. They tend to avoid rebuke. They're more concerned about keeping the relationship than they are confronting the sin. In fact, let me put it this way, and this is true of my wife. When it comes down to rebuking a friend or a loved one in sin and losing the friendship, or not saying anything and preserving the friendship, mercy will always keep its mouth shut. That's just the way that gift operates. Well, let me close by talking to you, thirdly, about the results of this gift. What happens when the gift of mercy is used in the local church? Well, I see it in some of you. Others of you may have it, and I haven't seen it in you yet, but I will eventually. Mercy will always bring a ray of sunshine into an otherwise dark world. It is going to be there when people are hurting. And do you know the gift of mercy, when it's used by a person, can be an evangelistic tool? Let me tell you how. Mercy can open a door for a witnessing opportunity. What a sermon or a Sunday school lesson may not do in the life of an individual, mercy can. Mercy ministers to a lost person. Mercy comes to the aid of someone who doesn't know Christ when they're hurting and ministers. You know what oftentimes the lost individual will say? Boy, I want what they've got. They've got something incredible. They helped me when I was hurting. I don't know what it is they've got, but I'd like to have it. My wife and her sister many years ago had a rift in their relationship because her sister was living in sin. And her sister wanted nothing to do. I think I've shared this illustration with you. But my sister-in-law, Suzanne's sister, was living in deep sin. She wanted nothing to do with Suzanne. Being around Suzanne convicted her that her life wasn't what it should have been. And instead of rebuking my sister-in-law, instead of confronting her sister with her sin, Suzanne began to pray for her. Suzanne began to love her in Christ's name. Suzanne began to live Christ in front of her sister. She showed compassion on her sister. When her sister got in trouble, she ministered to her sister with the gift of mercy. And this went on for a number of years. I think I've told you that my sister-in-law, I met her the day before I married Suzanne. Her sister didn't want to be around me. I dated Suzanne for almost a year before we got married, but my sister-in-law wanted nothing to do with being around me because she knew I was a pastor. The day before I married Suzanne, I met my sister-in-law for the very first time because she was in the wedding party and she had to come to the rehearsal, and we sat down across from each other that night at the rehearsal dinner, and she stuck her bony finger in my face, and she said to me, "Bill, if you never talk to me about Jesus, we'll get along fine. But if you ever mention Jesus to me, I won't have anything to do with you." And so we began to pray. And Suzanne put that gift of mercy in operation, loved her unconditionally, prayed for her without ceasing. And years went by with absolutely no improvement. Let me tell you how mercy turned into an evangelistic tool. Mercy loves people unconditionally. It doesn't judge them. Again, it doesn't overlook sin, but it sees the best in people, even if it has to look for it. One night in 1993, I was sitting at home. I was pastoring Denver Baptist at the time. Camille, we call her Cam, my sister-in-law called me. She was weeping. I never knew Cam to weep. She was gruff. She was hard. She was calloused. She said, Bill, she said, I wanted to call to tell you something. She said, is Suzanne there? I said, no, she's out. She said, I've just been watching a Billy Graham crusade on television. And he was preaching to me. I was channel surfing, and there he was, and something told me just to stop and listen. And within 30 seconds of my stopping and listening to Billy Graham's sermon, he said something that drew me to his message, and I couldn't change channels. He said, some of you watching by television tonight are so lonely, you wish you could die. He said, life is unfulfilling. You've seen it all, done it all, trod it all, and you're empty. And she said, I put the clicker down and listened to his presentation of the gospel. And she said, Bill, tonight I have asked Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Within 2 weeks of her having been saved, she led her first person to faith in Christ. She's a wonderful Christian. A few years after she became a Christian, she wrote Suzanne a letter. Actually, it was a birthday card. And in the birthday card were these words, Suzanne, I am a Christian today because Christ saved me. But one of the reasons God prepared my heart to receive the gospel is because of the love and the compassion and the tenderness with which you've treated me. She said, I saw Christ in you, and because I did, God prepared the soil of my heart to receive the Lord. When you minister with the gift of mercy to a lost person, it can be a tool to win them to Christ because they want what you've got. When I was in seminary at Southwestern Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, I will never forget the words of a homiletics professor. That's a professor of preaching. And he stood one day in front of his class, and he said, men, let me tell you something. You can stand in the pulpit, and you can exegete the text of your sermon with great proficiency. You can quote from the Greek and the Hebrew, and you can explain difficult passages in the Word of God. And that's commendable. But he said, listen to me. Your people won't care what you know until they know you care. And people with the gift of mercy, and God bless those of you who have it, you want people to know you care. Mercy cares, and mercy shares. Bow your heads for a moment. Do you have this gift?